These new work requirements for the Healthy Michigan Plan participants are going into effect in January, but you guys are already gearing up for this. Tell us what you're doing now to get ready for these new work requirements and what it is that Healthy Michigan participants will have to do come January.
Yes, we want to make sure that the Healthy Michigan Plan beneficiaries are aware of these new work requirements. They're aware that they're going to have to report into our department to make sure that we know that they're meeting the work requirements and are still eligible to receive Healthy Michigan Plan health insurance benefits. So we are sending notification letters to the 270,000 Healthy Michigan Plan beneficiaries who currently are not exempt from the work requirements based on our records and would thus need to comply with the requirements beginning in January of 2020. And we want to make sure that we get information out to them in advance of this. And we've made every effort to make this communication as clear as we possibly can. We worked with a company that has expertise in designing communication so that they're easy to read and to understand. So it's very important for us that people have all the information that they need to be able to continue to maintain their coverage through the Healthy Michigan Plan.
Critics of these work requirements, which were inherited basically by the Whitmer administration, say that they're designed, in fact, to kick people off of this plan, to kick people off of the Medicaid expansion. And the U.S. District Judge blocked Kentucky from implementing it earlier this year and Arkansas from continuing the program. And the Kentucky governor at the time seemed to indicate that that's exactly what his desire is to kick some people off so that he can, quote, afford to give others coverage. Do the critics have a point here?
Our governor, Governor Whitmer, has expressed extreme concerns about these requirements, as has our director, Robert Gordon. So, yeah, we are concerned about people losing their coverage, and in particular, we're concerned about people losing their coverage because they're not meeting the requirements, but because they've had difficulties reporting their requirements or aren't familiar with what they need to do. That's something that's been seen in other states where a lot of people have lost their coverage just because they weren't able to navigate their way through the bureaucratic system. So the governor and our director have been attempting to work with our partners in the legislature, try to make some changes to the Healthy Michigan Plan law. But it is currently the law, and we do have to move forward with implementing it. So given that, we're just doing the best we can to make sure everybody is informed about what they need to do to maintain their coverage.
To the best of your knowledge, how many people on the Healthy Michigan program will have to actually have these work requirements come January?
As of right now, there's more than 270,000 Healthy Michigan Plan beneficiaries who would need to meet those requirements and are not exempt from the work requirements based on our records. In this notification, we've included an exemption form if anybody believes they meet one of the exemptions, which are laid out in the letter. They can submit those. And there's also some pending legislation that could reduce the number of people. So we think it's going to be less than 270,000 ultimately, but we don't know for sure what the exact number will be.
From a practical standpoint, just mechanics of this thing, these work requirements, is it up to the participants in the Healthy Michigan Plan to come up on their own with work that meets the requirements, or are there state programs or anything like that that they can turn to help them with training or anything else that might satisfy these requirements?
Michigan does have the Michigan Works program that can assist people with job training, or there's other job training programs available that our local offices can refer people to in their local communities. So, yeah, that's something we want to do also, is work with our partners. There's also partners in the private sector who might be able to assist with this. So, yeah, we want to work with all of our partners to assist these individuals in meeting the requirements.
You're listening to News Talk 94.9 WSJM. I'm Doug Cunningham, and I'm speaking with Bob Wheaton from the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services about new work requirements that kick in for Healthy Michigan participants in January of 2020.
Is there anything that people in the Healthy Michigan program who may be paying attention to this, do they have to do any immediate action, or is this just an attempt to make them aware of the requirements that will kick in January?
Yeah, I mean, we at this point want to make them aware of it. Of course, they don't have to report anything yet as far as meeting the requirements because they don't go into effect until January, but obviously we want them to know beforehand what the requirements are so that if they're not currently working or doing something else to meet the requirements, they can be prepared for that. And then we're going to send out another communication in December that gives them more specific instructions about, beginning in January, what they have to do to report to the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services that they're meeting the requirements.
Has this requirement and the requirement that you have now to notify everybody and get this geared up, has that placed a burden on the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services, taking money away and resources away from what could otherwise be spent on other things?
There certainly are costs for this, but we do have some dedicated funding for that to get the word out about this and communicate about this. But, there will be some additional requirements because we have to be able to receive communications either by phone or online from the people who are reporting their work requirements. So, yeah, that does place some additional work on our workers.
How can people become legally exempt from this requirement? Who is exempt under this?
So there's a number of different exemptions. For some examples, if you're a caretaker of a family member who is under the age of 6 years old, if you're receiving temporary or permanent long-term disability benefits, if you're a full-time student in a post-secondary institution or certificate program, pregnant women, medically frail, receiving unemployment benefits, there's several others as well. And there's also other qualifying activities for the work requirement beyond working the required hours if you're in employment or if you are involved in education directly related to employment, including but not limited to high school equivalency or post-secondary education that can qualify you for meeting the work requirements. If you're in vocational training directly related to employment, if you're involved in community service with a nonprofit. So there are, in addition to the exemptions, there's other qualifying activities in addition to working 80 hours a month.
And people age 62 and older are also exempt from this. People can learn more about this at the healthymichigan.org website, and there's a tab there called Changes Coming in 2020, that tab.
Right, so if you want to go to healthymichiganplan.org, there's additional information about the Healthy Michigan Plan itself, and then on that homepage you'll see a tab that says Changes Coming in 2020, and you can click on that and it'll have more details about the work requirements and how they might affect you.
Is there anything else you want to make people aware of as we conclude?
I would just say the Healthy Michigan Plan has been a very successful program, currently provides health insurance coverage to more than 650,000 people, and we see a lot of positive outcomes from this. And essentially what the Healthy Michigan Plan did is expand eligibility beyond the people who were receiving Medicaid benefits at that time, and we've seen some strong outcomes as far as visits to the emergency room going down and things, you know, that can save taxpayers money, that can save hospitals money, in addition to providing coverage to an additional 650,000 plus